The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right. Good morning. Almost afternoon, right? We're always just right under the 12 o'clock mark when we get started here. So, all right. Get some good stuff today. Man, I'm excited because today, as I said, we're kicking off our new series. Our series is called Facing Jesus. And as we were kind of thinking about what this series was going to be titled, we kind of wrestled with a couple of different ideas. And so we're like, the many aspects of Jesus. We're like, no, that sounds kind of weird. And so we had a couple of different ideas floating around. And I was like, the idea for the Gospel of John, really for all the Gospels, is to introduce Jesus to everybody, to who He is. And so I'm like, the point is we want to be able to look into the face of Jesus. And we're like, how about facing Jesus? What would it be like if each and every one of us would turn to face Jesus in our lives? How different would our lives be, and how much better would our lives be if we always had Jesus in view? And so that's what our series is about. We're going to be working our way through the Gospel of John. And I think that God has kind of perfectly planned out our series, because Jerry and I were thinking, okay, so if we start this series the first Sunday of the new year, then eventually we're going to get around to Easter, and we're like, how's that going to work out? Is there going to be enough chapters in between to where we're going to be able to, and it just turns out that there's like 12 weeks until Palm Sunday. And then on Palm Sunday, in the 12th chapter of John, it starts talking about the triumphal entry. And so we're like, oh, this is perfect. It's like God has perfectly timed. So if anybody messes something up, it's going to be me and Jerry, right? Because God started us off on the right feet. He's like, okay, I set this up for you. Don't mess it up. But anyway, I'm excited about what we're going to learn through this series. So hope that you're excited as well. So as I mentioned, my title is called Into the Light. So we've got some social media stuff there for you on the screen. Encourage you guys to be on social media and be kind of getting the message out there, because there are people that probably wouldn't step foot into church, but they might check your Instagram just to see what you're up to. And so it's a great way for us to communicate to people about what's going on here at Remnant. Actually, just a few minutes ago, really not that long ago, maybe less than a half an hour, or 40 minutes, I was just down the street at Christ Community, and I was doing a presentation for Youth for Christ. They're having a mission Sunday down there, and so I got an opportunity to speak and share about what God's doing through the ministry of Youth for Christ. So a lot of stuff going on in my mind right now, so I'm going to pray and ask God that He kind of helps me settle in on some thoughts here so that I can put my previous speaking engagement this morning behind me. But again, I'm excited about what God's going to share with us through this. So as we start into the Gospel of John, there's some things that I think for us need to kind of clear up a little bit, so that we can have some really clear thinking when it comes to the book of John. So there's four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so each of these Gospels are parallel. In other words, they describe the same story, the same events, and they're written about the same time, but they're written by different disciples of Jesus, okay? And so you've got Jesus' followers who are kind of recording what has happened, and the book of John is actually specifically about these last 3 years of Jesus' ministry here on earth, okay? And so, but John does something a little bit unique. In each chapter, he kind of presents a little bit more about Jesus, a little different perspective on who Jesus is, the character of Jesus. And so it's a great book for you to become really familiar with who Jesus is. So if I had to pick a verse that was like kind of the key verse for the book of John that kind of summarized all the ideas in the book, it would be John 20, verse 31. So kind of the theme of the book is captured in this verse. It says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." So you've got this verse that kind of describes the reason that John sat down and wrote this gospel, so that we might believe in Jesus, that we might get to know who Jesus is, and in getting to know who Jesus is, we might experience the saving grace that Jesus offers. Okay? Now, I want you to understand something about this verse. It doesn't create an exclusive audience for the book of John. What I mean by that is that if you are a believer in Jesus, like if you've already established in your mind, okay, I know who Jesus is and I put my faith in him, okay, it doesn't mean that the book of John is not for you. Because for each and every one of us, we need to discover more and more about who Jesus is, okay? And the more we learn about him from God's word, the more God strengthens our faith. And so for each and every one of us, no matter where you're at in your journey with God, no matter how long you've known Jesus, this book has really good stuff for you, okay? So I don't want you to think just because you're a follower of Jesus that John says, well, this book is basically so that you'll know who Jesus is. There is so much for you in this book. And here's the thing. We need to have a clear picture of Jesus. Right now, more than ever, in our society, in our culture, in our world, we need to have a clear picture of who Jesus is. In fact, the greatest problem that is facing our society today is not racism, sexism, or violence. It is the inability to see Jesus clearly for who he is. So understand that all of these issues, all of these problems that we're facing in our modern culture stem from the fact that people are not clearly seeing Jesus. Because when you don't have a clear picture of who Jesus is, you have a warped perspective on life in general. And so my prayer is that as we work our way through the Gospel of John, that we're going to discover not only is our picture of Jesus becoming more and more clear, but that the issues that surround us, we're going to get to the root of the problem because we are addressing the source of the answer to those issues. Does that make sense? So it's like we're going straight to the one who has all of the answers. And the better perspective we have of Jesus, the better perspective we're going to have of the world around us. Okay? So let me read John 1, 1 through 5, then we'll pray and just ask that God blesses our time together. So John chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 5. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." So, Father, as we dive into this new series, and as we take a look over the next few weeks at the Gospel of John, Father, I would pray that you would speak to us, that each week as we meet, that you would give us a clearer picture of who your Son is. Father, as we explore who Jesus is, as we face Jesus head on in this series, God, I pray that it would change our lives, that our hearts would be different because of the time that we spend here, and because of our proximity to Jesus, your Son. God, I pray that even today, God, that you would do a work in our lives as we explore who Jesus is. And so I pray that my words today would be your words, and I just ask your blessing on our time together and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have these first five verses of this chapter 1 of John. And in these first five verses, I want you to notice something that John does. It's kind of interesting. John just like comes out strong about who Jesus is. Now, usually when you're writing a story about someone, you like to kind of develop their character as the story progresses, right? And so you're like, if you read a novel and you're learning about the main character of the novel as you go along, it's like little pieces of this person is being revealed, and it's just like, you know, little by little you're becoming attached to the main character because you're learning more and more about this person. Well, I love how John doesn't want us to be confused at all about who Jesus is. And so he doesn't like reveal Jesus' character slowly. He just like kind of just jumps right in and says exactly who Jesus is. He comes across strong about who Jesus is. He wants you to know right up front that Jesus is the ultimate. He doesn't want us to be confused about that. Look what he says in verse 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So John has chosen this name to call Jesus, okay? And the name is the Word. Interesting about this particular name that John uses. See, in the Greek, this word is logos. And maybe you've heard the word logos, and you might have heard a little bit about it, so you kind of have a little bit of an idea, but the word means word, reason, or plan. And in Greek philosophy and theology, the divine reason implicit in the cosmos, ordering it and giving it form and meaning. So the word actually means basically the essence, the source of life for the entire universe, okay? That's not just a Greek word in the New Testament, but it's a word that was thrown around by philosophers to describe the source of everything, right? The thing that creates order in the universe, okay? We get the word logic from this word logos, okay? When you think of logic, you think of something that makes sense, right? Something that is factual, something that is sequential, something that you can easily understand, okay? That's logic. And so the logos, who God is, he makes the world make sense to us. He makes the universe make sense to us. Maybe you've noticed this, that whenever a company or organization wants to brand itself, okay, so it wants to get the information out about who it is and what they're all about, right? Okay, so you think in your mind, when you think of a company like Nike, you picture that swoosh in your head, right? Okay, and what do we call that? That's the company's what? Logo, okay? It's basically like the essence of the company, what represents who the company is. And if a company's very good at creating a logo, they can really express the idea behind their organization, okay? So many of you may have noticed that a Remnant Church has a logo, right? And some of you maybe have been coming to Remnant for a long time and you've looked at this logo and you're like, oh, it's kind of a cool-looking logo, but what the heck does it mean, right? It's somebody once was like, what is the bird all about? It's not a bird. It's actually a valley, okay? So there's two mountains, and then there's a sun that's coming up over the valley, okay? So it's actually a sunrise is what you're looking at in the logo of Remnant. And if you've been with Remnant for a while, you've heard us describe how the idea for Remnant came out of this passage in Ezekiel where God says, I'm going to breathe life into this valley of bones. And we were trying to think of a way to say, okay, if God is going to breathe life into the valley, how can that be represented? Maybe by the rising sun that's shining into the Imperial Valley. And so that's kind of how our logo came about. So you get this idea that if you want something to be communicated about who you are and you want to be branded, you want to be remembered for something, you choose a logo and it represents who you are. Now, the logos, okay, God's logo, who God is, who God wants to be known as, who God has revealed himself as, is all wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus is the Word. That's our first point that I want you to get today. Jesus is the Word. He is the logos. He is not only all of what makes sense in this world, but he also represents God himself. He is the first, final, ultimate, decisive, absolute, and reliable source of truth. That's what the logos means. That is who Jesus is. Jesus wants to be known as the ultimate source of truth. And my friends, if you're looking for truth in anyone other than Jesus, you're not going to find it. Because Jesus is the only one that is true and is faithful. But it describes what's happening with this Logos, okay? With Jesus himself and the fact that he's become a part of our world. As a matter of fact, in John 1:14 it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, I want you to understand this incredibly big concept, because here we have the thing that Greek philosophers have been talking about for a long time, okay? That they're describing the thing that creates order in the universe, okay? The ultimate source that's in control of everything. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, who is that ultimate source, chooses to become human flesh. Now, we've talked a lot about this. In fact, we spent a lot of time in our CPR series talking about how Jesus came to this world to give life to those that are dead. And my friend, that's all of us apart from Jesus. And so we talked about how Jesus came to this earth and what his purpose was for coming here, and how the good news is that we can be rescued from our sin. And then we just came through Christmas and we talked about the incarnation. We talked about how Jesus came down and he was born here on earth. And if this doesn't just blow your mind away, I mean, the fact that God would choose to come here to this earth to be one of his creation, I mean, that boggles my mind. So the other day, yesterday, we were at SeaWorld, and so they had a special presentation. You know how there's different shows at SeaWorld? So there's like the Dolphin Amphitheater, and there's like, I don't think they still have the Orca one, do they? They do. Okay, so there's several different places where you go if you want to see this particular sea animal, okay, and you want to see them perform. And so they have these different stages, these different amphitheaters. And so they had one that said Wondrous Night, and it said the story of the birth of Jesus. And we're like, what? SeaWorld? Okay. So we're like, let's go check it out, right? So we go, and it was held in that one amphitheater. If you've been to SeaWorld before, there's one particular amphitheater where they have all kinds of animals, okay? So they have, like, these different animals that have been trained, and they, like, go and run across the stage, and they do all these things, and they usually have some sort of a skit going on that's running throughout the program, and the animals are creative and amazing. And so we sit down, you know, and the lights kind of drop, and there's this beautiful scene. Okay, so all of a sudden, these people that are dressed like choir members, right, like wearing the robes and everything, come out and they're singing these beautiful Christmas songs. And it's like the very words that they're singing is like telling the story of Jesus coming to this earth to save mankind. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking around, I'm like, we're at SeaWorld, right? We're not in church. We're at Sea. And there was like, throughout this play, there was like a sermon that was presented telling the story of Jesus, and it was done like from the perspective of the animals that were there at the nativity. So it was kind of a really cool thing, but I couldn't believe it. I was just sitting there and I'm like, I can't believe how much scripture is being recited, and I can't believe how many songs about Jesus coming to earth. I mean, that they were talking about the Word becoming flesh. And as I sat there, I'm like, do people even understand the significance of what's being revealed to them? Is it just a cute Christmas story, or do they understand that this really happened? This is not only the world's history, but this is God's story, right? His story. This is God's story of how he came to this earth to become man. It was pretty amazing. If you haven't seen it, I don't even know how long they're doing that for. We might have been at the last performance. Who knows? I built it up, and you're going to go to SeaWorld, and it's not going to be there anymore. But, man, it was just really cool to be able to see that. So the Word became flesh, the Logos, the one who orders the universe, became a part of his creation. I mean, that is something to celebrate. And I don't think it's something we should celebrate just once a year. I think it needs to be something we celebrate all the time in our lives, because there's victory in knowing that truth. So let's look at verses 2 and 3 of John 1. It says, "He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." So a couple of things are revealed to us about Jesus here. We have this revelation about the fact that Jesus was there in the beginning. Okay, let's look at the word beginning, because it's a little bit of an interesting word in the Greek. Okay, the word arche, which means beginning or origin. used absolutely of the beginning of all things. Not the beginning of time, but the beginning of all things. The creation. The beginning of the creation. So God, Jesus, the Word, Logos, was there in the beginning. And so we have Jesus, so just so that there's no confusion, because sometimes people think, okay, there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and so sometimes we can be confused and say, okay, God the Father was around for a long time, and then Jesus the Son came on the scene, right? That's not true, because God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, has been around for eternity, from the very beginning, okay? Even before the beginning, as this word describes. But we learn something even more incredible about who Jesus is. The Bible actually tells us here that Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Creator. Now, I want you to think about this with me for a moment, because when I think of creation, when I think of all of creation, I don't know about you, but in my mind, I've kind of always pictured God the Father as being the Creator. But the Bible clearly tells us that it was Jesus himself that spoke everything into existence. It was the Logos. It was the Word. It was Jesus himself that created everything. Not only is Jesus the lover of our souls, but Jesus is also the maker of our souls. Isn't that amazing to know that? Now, that even adds to the significance of Jesus coming and being a part of his creation, being born a man, because Jesus is the Creator. He made us. He made all of us. He was the Father's agent or word in the creation of all things. Matter of fact, if we look in the book of Jude in chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever." There's that word again, before all time, in the beginning, arche. The idea that Jesus has always been around. He's always been here. And that he is the Creator of all things. We need to understand this. We need to get the fact that Jesus is the Creator of this universe, and the Creator of this universe became a part of his creation. This is so significant for us as believers in Jesus, of understanding who exactly he is. Let's look at verse 4. We're going to learn a little bit more about who Jesus is. John 1, 4 says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." So Jesus has been described as the Word. He's been described as the Creator. And now he's being described as the life. In the Greek, the word life is Zoe. Maybe you've heard that word before too. Maybe you know someone named Zoe. The word means life. The state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate. Life, real and genuine, a life active and vigorous. So this word holds a lot of meaning, but the important thing is that it's not just talking about living and breathing, it's talking about moving. Okay? It's talking about being full of vigor, being full of life. Jesus is the life. He's the Word, he's the Creator, he is the life. And it doesn't just mean that Jesus is alive. No, Jesus is the source of all life. We just said he was the Creator of all things that exist, which includes all living things. He's the source of life. So he is alive, he's a living person, he's a source of physical life, spiritual life, saving life, the gift of eternal life. Jesus is the life. There is no life apart from Jesus. I hope you know that, because the world tries to live life without Jesus. You know what's so crazy about the world living life without Jesus? I mean, that would be like you denying the existence of your parents. That'd be like you saying, I have no parents. I have no mom, I have no dad, right? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Biologically, we're like, yeah, you have to at some point have had a mother and a father, because it doesn't work unless there's a mother and a father, right? And so for us to deny Jesus, the existence of Jesus, is to deny our very lives, is to say that we don't exist, because Jesus is the life. 1 John 5:11 through 12, it says this: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So you might ask yourself, how is it possible that there are people that live apart from Jesus and still are living and breathing? Well, we'll understand something, that when we talk about life, when we talk about vitality, when we talk about the fullness of life, we're talking about the life that God has designed for each and every one of us to experience. So it's possible to live a life of existence in denial of who Jesus is. So you have physical life, but you will never have the fullness of life without Jesus. You'll never have eternal life. You'll never have an abundant life here on earth. You know what? People struggle constantly with life. And you may have heard people that are just like, you know, say things like, life is just really beating me up, right? Or I just can't get this life right. Have you heard that before? Maybe you've said that yourself. Maybe you've even thought about despairing of life and giving it all up because you're just like, man, I can't do this. Here's the thing. Life was not designed for you to live by yourself. This life was not designed for you to go into the world and to live it alone. You were designed to be connected to Jesus. You're designed to have a connection to the source of life. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. So we have Jesus described as the Word, the Creator, the life. And now verses 4 and 5, it says, the light of men, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So now we have another name that's given for Jesus here. And the word light in Greek is the word phos, okay? We get the word photo from that, okay? Light, to shine or to make manifest, okay? To reveal something. The power of understanding, especially moral or spiritual truth. Man, there is so much packed into this one word. When Jesus is described as a light, it doesn't just mean that he's bright, okay? It doesn't just mean that he illuminates the room, okay? But it means that Jesus reveals the plan of God to us. That he shines into our lives and we have this incredible ability to all of a sudden understand. And we understand not only the spiritual truth about who Jesus is, but we understand the moral truth, the moral code that's here on earth, the order of the universe, right? I mean, it's all wrapped up in who Jesus is and it becomes revealed in him. Which is why I say, apart from Jesus, we still can't make sense of this world. It's like we're stumbling around in the darkness. When I was a kid, I remember going to the movie theater during the daytime, okay? Going into the theater, and as you walk in, it's kind of like dimly lit, right? And then they have the previews and all that stuff, and they turn the lights down really low, and your eyes just like get really accustomed to being in the dark, because you're sitting there for a couple hours in a dark room, and you're watching the movie. And as a little kid, when I would exit the theater, I was always blown away by how bright it was outside. You ever, like, walked out of the movie theater and, like, you know those exits that just go right out into the open, right? Not the ones where you walk back through the lobby, but those ones where you just, like, walk out into... the difference between being in darkness and all of a sudden being in the light, that is what it's like when the light of Jesus shines into your life. All of a sudden, you can. It's almost blinding. The light is so bright. And everything starts to make sense. Everything is illuminated when you're with Jesus. Jesus is the light. He's the true light that dispels all darkness. He brings understanding that replaces blindness with sight. You know, I love the miracles that Jesus performed, and we're going to be talking about those, or some of those, as we work our way through the Gospel of John, but I love how every time Jesus encounters someone and he heals somebody, it represents more than just a physical healing. And those stories where Jesus heals the blind and all of a sudden they're able to see, I mean, that's not just a physical miracle that takes place, that's a miracle of the heart that each and every one of us experiences when we're exposed to the light of Jesus. All of a sudden, we can see. We're no longer in darkness, but all of a sudden, we're in light. Matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 9, that messianic chapter that talks about Jesus coming, it says in verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Do you ever look around at the world? Maybe turn on the news and kind of get a feel for what's going on in the world, and you're like, man, it's pretty dark out there. Have you done that before? You're just like, we just need some light. We need some good news, right? We need some light. And that is who Jesus is. Jesus is the light that has come into this world to dispel the darkness. The darkness, the hopelessness, all of that. Jesus has come into the world to do that. So why do people want to live in darkness? Why would anybody want to live in darkness when the alternative is to live in the light? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it explains that for us. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So it's like Satan has done a pretty good job of convincing people that they want to live in darkness, that they want to stumble around in the dark. What happens when you stumble around in the dark? You fall, you injure yourself, you end up somewhere where you weren't planning on being. You ever walked into a dark room and even though you know where every piece of furniture is in that room, you still kind of start groping and trying to feel around to see if there's something there? People live their lives like that. People walk through this life, just groping in the dark, trying to make sense of it all, but not being able to see it clearly. My friends, if you have never experienced a relationship with Jesus, that's the life that you're living right now. And if you're honest, if you look in deep into your own heart and you're honest about it, you know this to be true. You know that you've just been stumbling along in the darkness, that things are just coming out of nowhere and knocking you off your feet, that you're getting hurt, that you're getting lost. These are all results of living in darkness. And Jesus is saying to you, I don't want you to live that way. That's not the way I want you to live. Look what happens in verses 9 through 13 of John chapter 1. It says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. This description of the person that believes in Jesus, that puts their faith and their trust in Jesus, who answers the invitation to the light. See, here's the thing, and here's the last thing I want to leave with you. We know that Jesus is the Word, that he's the Creator, that he is the life, that he is the light, that every single one of you has been invited into that light. Every single one of you has been invited into the light. See, God's answer to death and blindness and darkness in this world is Jesus' invitation to come into the light. My friends, here's the thing, and the reason that this church exists, so that people won't have to be on their own trying to figure out life, stumbling through the darkness. We want every single one of you to experience what it is to know Jesus, to truly know him so that you can step into the light. We want you to be in the light. Yesterday at SeaWorld, something kind of frightening happened. You know, you don't think of SeaWorld as being a dangerous place, but we went to get on one of the... Actually, probably the only ride at SeaWorld that, to me, seems pretty harmless. Okay, it's this Arctic Wild ride, and you get in there, and it's not like a, You're not really going anywhere. It's like the floor just kind of like moves, and you're seeing things on a video screen. It kind of gives you that feeling like you're in a helicopter, that you're moving and going, but you're actually just in one spot. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of a ride. So I'm with Josiah, and we get on the ride, and so we're seated, and all of a sudden these red lights start blinking, and someone announces over the loudspeaker and says, we're having technical difficulties. And so we're like, oh, is this like part of the ride? You know? I'm like, yeah, I think it's part of the ride. You know, we're excited. You know, I wonder what's going to happen next. And then after a while, the doors open and someone comes in. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, we are having technical difficulties with the ride. This is not part of the ride. You know, we are having problems with it. So we're going to have to ask you to exit. And so they open up the doors. And so we start to exit out. And as we're leaving, they're giving us instructions and they're telling us, go down this hall because there's another ride and you can enter that ride through the exit. So we're like, okay, no big deal. And so there's like, you know, and all these workers are like, you know, they look like teenagers to me, right? Or just look like kids, right? And so they're just kind of ushering us from one ride into the next. And they're just like, okay, come on, come on, come on. And there's someone at the entrance or the exit of the other ride sending us in. And they're like, come on, go inside, go inside. They're just kind of like herding us in like cattle, right? So we're just kind of being obedient, just walking in there, right? Well, as we're entering the exit of the ride, apparently the ride didn't know we were coming in. And so the doors were closed to the ride. And when the doors closed to the ride, it reveals like this gap. And there's like nothing there. I mean, literally, it's like the floor is down below you, like 15 feet, right? And so we're just walking down this gangplank, right? And there's a lady in front of me, and her husband's right behind her, and then my son. And this lady, and by the way, the room is like pitch dark, okay? So we can't see anything except for the little lights along the path that tell us to go that way, right? So we're walking along, and all of a sudden, we hear this lady scream. She just walked right off the ledge. Luckily, her husband caught her, and so she didn't fall down below to the floor below. And so her husband catches her, you know, and like pulls her up, and they weren't from the U.S. It was obvious because they were shouting things in a different language. And and so, you know, they're like, what's happened? So we're like telling everybody else, we're like warning everybody, telling people don't, you know, stop walking, don't walk. There's like, you're going to fall off, right? Because like everybody's walking down these roads. Everybody's just obediently, you know, walking. And then my son Josiah shouts, they're leading us to our deaths. And it was true. Because if we had just kept, we would just all would have just walked off that ledge and ended up 15 feet below on the concrete down there. I'm just like, this has never happened at SeaWorld before. I had no idea that this kind of thing could happen to us. But I started thinking about this. You know, the scary part was we actually didn't know. We knew there was a gap there, but we didn't know it was like a drop-off to like the floor below until somebody turned on their flashlight on their phone. So the moment the light like hit the room, all of a sudden, you could just hear it. As soon as the light like revealed what was actually there, you heard all the people just go, like, oh my gosh. We could have walked off that ledge, right? And then now all of a sudden everybody's like looking over the ledge like, oh, wow, it's pretty far down. That poor lady, I felt so bad for her. But maybe, I guess she gets like SeaWorld for life or something for something like that. I don't know what happens when that happens. But here's the thing. My point is that we were in darkness and we were just walking right into danger. And the sad thing about it was someone that we trusted, the worker at SeaWorld, is just kind of ushering us through, telling us, go on in, folks, go on in. Don't slow down, just keep walking. Man, it was for me, it was a vivid example of what it's like to walk in darkness and to not have the light that illuminates the path in front of us. Guys, we need Jesus in our lives, because without Jesus, we're walking down that gangplank and we're going to walk right off the edge and we're going to get injured, or worse, we're going to die apart from him. My friends, that is not the life that God wants you to live. God doesn't want you to walk in the darkness into danger. We've been invited into the light, We've been invited into Jesus' light. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Not the dark path that leads to a drop-off. You will have the light that leads to life." John 12:46 says, Jesus says, "I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." My friends, I urge you to put your faith in Jesus and to walk in the light. Don't stumble around in the darkness. Don't trust the dark. Don't trust even the voice that says, "Hey, this is a safe way to go in the dark." Trust Jesus and walk into the light. I love this verse in the book of Job where Job says in 33:28, "God rescued me from the grave, and now my life is filled with light." My friends, the difference between living life without Jesus and living life with Jesus is the difference between living in utter darkness and living in the light. The invitation is pretty clear here. If you're connected to Jesus, you are in the light. If you're not connected to him, you are in the darkness. Life is never disconnected from Christ. It's impossible to live a life and to walk in the light without being connected to Jesus. And so as we kind of embark on this journey together into the Gospel of John, I want you to understand this about Jesus, that Jesus is inviting us into the light. And when God begins to illuminate your life with truth, things start to make sense. And if you're ever expecting to learn anything from this book, if you're expecting anything to make sense that we talk about, you have to walk into the light. And so my invitation to you today, maybe you've been coming to Remnant for a while, maybe you just started coming to Remnant, but wherever you're at in your journey, I invite you today to step into the light. I invite you to come in out of the darkness, come in out of the confusion, out of the hopelessness, and step into the light that Jesus offers us. And it's so incredibly simple. Jesus made it simple for us because we're simple people. And so all we have to do is begin that relationship with Jesus. We just have to put our faith and our trust in him, and we go from darkness into light. And it's an invitation for every single one of us today. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. You know, when you close your eyes, there's this instant darkness, but you're not afraid of it. Because you know that as soon as you open your eyes, there's going to be light again. But for some of you, your life is being lived with your eyes closed. And there's no hope of opening your eyes on your own and being able to see anything. And so as you're sitting here with your eyes closed, I want you to understand that Jesus is offering you an invitation to step into the light, to leave the darkness and the hopelessness of this world, and to step into the light. And it's not just coming into a place that's illuminated so you can see clearly, but it's all the promises of God. It's the citizenship of heaven. It's belonging to God's family. That's what's waiting for you in the light. If there's anybody here today that has never, ever accepted God's invitation to step into the light, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. And you can maybe, in your own heart, in a simple prayer, just say to God, "I'm ready. I'm ready to step out of the darkness of my life and into your beautiful light." And as you pray those words, Jesus is hearing you. Jesus came to this earth and he died a death that he didn't deserve, to pay for your sin, to give you the right to walk into the light. And right now, you're simply accepting that invitation. And you're saying, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm tired of living life on my own, tired of stumbling around in the darkness. And right now, the best that I know how, I accept your invitation into the light. And now, would you guide me through this life? That's you. If you prayed that prayer right now, and you meant it with all your heart, I want to welcome you to God's family. And I would love to know who you are. I would love to pray for you. So if you could just slip up your hand, then I'll pray for you right now. If you prayed that prayer, thank you. Anybody else? You prayed that prayer and you meant it. Awesome. Anybody else? Lift up your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? And this is such a cool moment. Such a cool moment to know that you don't have to live in darkness anymore. That you can live in the light. So God, I thank you for those today that received your invitation and accepted it. And now, God, would you guide their steps as they walk in the light? This life can be difficult. It can be confusing, God, but there's nothing better than walking through this life with you right by our side. So, God, would you do that for them? Help them to experience everything you have for them in this life. God, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for inviting us all into the light. And thank you for those today that have accepted that invitation. And now as we sing about this marvelous light, God, would you fill our hearts with hope? Would you fill our lives again afresh with the light that comes only from Jesus? And God, as we continue to explore in the book of John, about your son Jesus, God, just continue to give us all that you have for us, and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand together, sing this last song? But I just encourage you, if you want to talk, if anything I said today, you just want a little bit more, know a little bit more, maybe have it make a little more sense, I'd love to talk with you afterwards, and certainly want to walk with you through this life. God's given us so many things, and one of the things that he's given us is he's given us each other so that we can walk alongside each other and help each other as we walk through this life together. Does that sound good?
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.